the people of God. No wonder we get accustomed to writing the word with a capital letter. The law imposed by this deity does not need to be just in order to exact obedience. In fact, the majority vote makes or creates right and justice. An adverse majority vote can not only overthrow the directions and commands of the heads of the mystical body on earth, the Pope and the bishops, but can even deprive the Ten Commandments of all binding force. To the triumph of those ideals in the modern world, the Masonic denial of original sin and the Rousseauist dogma of the natural goodness of man have contributed not a little. The dogma of natural goodness signifies that man lived originally in a purely natural paradise of happiness and goodness, and that, even in our present degraded state, all our instinctive movements are good. We do not need grace, for nature can do for us what grace does. In addition, Rousseau holds that this state of happiness and goodness, of perfect justice and innocence, of exemption from servile work and suffering, is natural to man, that is, essentially demanded by our nature. Not only, then, is original sin non-existent, not only do we not come into the world as fallen sons of the first Adam, bearing in us the wounds of our fallen nature, not only is there no concupiscence to incline us to evil, but the state of suffering in which we find ourselves is essentially opposed to nature, is radically anti-natural. Suffering and pain have been introduced by society, civilization, and private property. Hence, we must get rid of all these and set up a new form of society. We can get back the state of the Garden of Eden by the efforts of our own nature without the help of grace. For Rousseau, the introduction of the present form of society and of private property constitute the real fall. The setting up of a republic based on his principles will act as a sort of democratic grace which will restore in its entirety our lost heritage. In a world where the clear teaching of the faith of Christ about the supernatural nature of the life of grace has become obscured, but where men are still vaguely conscious that human nature was once happy, Rousseau's appeal acts like an urge of homesickness. We need not be astonished, then, apart from the question of Masonic revolutionary organization and propaganda, at the sort of delirious enthusiasm which takes possession of men at the thought of a renewal of society. Nor need we wonder that men work for the overthrow of existing governments and the existing order in the belief that they are not legitimate forms of society. A state not constructed according to Rousseauist Masonic principles is not a state ruled by laws. It is a monstrous tyranny and must be overthrown in the name of progress and of the onward march of democracy. All these influences must be borne in mind as we behold since 1788 the triumph in one country after another of Rousseauist Masonic democracy. Rousseau expressed in his works the spirit with which Freemasonry was filling minds and hearts during his lifetime in preparation for the revolution. It is not necessary to look for the model of Rousseau's Republic to ancient Rome or Sparta or to the Geneva of Rousseau's day. When reading the social contract, one would think oneself in presence of a lodge or a society of thought such as existed in the Paris of that day. This was the regime that was applied to France during the Reign of Terror. The liberty of Rousseau consists essentially in the refusal of human nature to receive anything from another or to depend on any external transcendent principle. It is the principle of the absolute sovereignty of man. Fichte, the German Mason and philosopher, perfectly expresses the ideas of Rousseau and of Masonry when he says, quote, "Man is free by nature, and nobody has the right to lay down a law for him except himself. No man can be obliged except by himself. A law cannot be imposed on any man except by himself. If a man allows a law to be imposed on him by any extraneous will, he renounces his manhood." End of quote. Descartes prepared the way for Kant, whose system leads on logically to the pantheism of Fichte, Schelling, and Hegel, in which man loses his individuality and becomes a mere phenomenon in the realization of universal reason or in the evolution of the absolute. According to Rousseau's conception, as society is constituted by an arbitrary contract of individuals, free and equal, the state is the sum total of these individuals, the sovereign people in which is concentrated all power. The two currents of thought give rise to the divinity state, leading on to the world state, humanity, God. The state becomes the highest power, the supreme authority, the end to the perfection of which all human progress tends. As there is no higher power, from it all law and right are derived, and on it all authority depends.